Let's read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. From the beginning of this chapter, 14 verses. I desire that we read with the help of the Lord. Dela svetih apostola, glava prva, od početka 14 stihova, želim da pročitamo kroz Božju pomoć. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, and James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This is the part of this chapter that I desire that we read today. And now let us rise up and unite our hearts and minds in a prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou guide us and protect us in our prayer. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou hast promised to hear and to answer the prayers that are pleasing Thee. And we pray, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that our prayers also be pleasing unto Thee, and our praises, our thanksgiving, and our worship as we are gathered together to worship Thee, O Lord, to be pleasing Thee, honoring Thy holy name, exalting the name of Christ. Gracious Lord, we realize that Thou art teaching us in Thy holy word that from the heart cometh everything across the lips. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou prepare our heart. Heavenly Father, we prayed, and we read the word of Thine, and we meditate upon thy holy word. And now we are waiting, knowing that all our prayers, all our labor cannot avail anything without thy goodness and thy grace. We thank thee for that grace of prayerfulness. We praise thee, O Lord, for that goodness and mercy of thine that will allow us to face only the few difficulties and adversities that we need to keep us prayerful. Lord God Almighty, great is thy goodness and thy mercy and thy wisdom that is often not apparent and visible to our eyes. When in difficulties we are crying unto thee and struggling, O Heavenly Father, to keep ourselves above the reproach of sin, we often, Lord, shift our focus from the example of the Savior to the battle that we are in. Lord God Almighty, we pray that thou graciously and lovingly forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings. Forgive us every disobedience, O Lord. Thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Cleanse away every unrighteousness, remove every disobedience. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we know that we have nothing to pay with for our debts. And yet we rely on thy goodness and thy mercy and on the merit of thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, thou art loving, merciful Heavenly Father, our Father in Christ. And we pray, Lord, that thou deliver our souls from our doubts and fears, ignorances, especially those that we choose for ourselves. Superstitions, O Lord, all invisible disobediences to thy holy word. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, make us free from bitterness, vengeance, envy, wrath. Deliver our souls from every stain of the filth of the flesh. Confusion of mind, corruption of heart. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast said that we speak the truth and lie not. Help us not to believe any lies, lest we be ignorantly perpetuating the deception of our enemy. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou bless us with the purity, righteousness, holiness of the Lamb of God. Thou give us obedience, faithfulness, zeal for thy holy word. Thou, O Heavenly Father, prepare us to proclaim thy word with joy and gladness, to suffer with gratitude, and to have patience and endurance in difficulties, in adversities, knowing that the inheritance of Lazarus is much greater and it lasted forever. But the riches of the rich man were but for a moment. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou fill our hearts with peace of thy forgiveness. Thou uplift our souls with the joy of Thy salvation, O God. Thou help us to understand more and more how great and how high is Thy calling, and that even in its riches and in its joy, the world cannot obtain anything of the beauty and grace that Thou art giving to Thine own, even in suffering and in persecution. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us that awareness, that faith that is looking for the heavenly city, and that love, Thy wonderful, pure, glorious love that overcame the world. Give us that love for Thy commandments, for Thy holy word, for the guidance and instruction of Thy Holy Spirit, love for the fellowship in the Spirit of Christ. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou make us Christ-like. Lord God Almighty, we know that we are not worthy, and yet we pray and ask in the name of Christ for Thy name's honor and glory. Make us steadfast in that blessed hope, O Lord. Keep us in expectation of Thy coming. And as we battle here, O Lord, day by day, Thou arm us with the whole armor of faith. May Thy Spirit rule in our hearts, control our lives. Keep us from evil. Keep us from worldliness, idolatry. Keep us, O Heavenly Father, from going astray. Lead us on the path of righteousness and fill our hearts with joy and gladness. For great is Thy goodness and Thy mercy, Lord. Thou defeat the enemy, exalt the name of Christ. Glorify Thy holy name, O Lord, and gather Thy people into Thy fold. While the day of grace is going on, that in the end no soul be lost, that the glory and honor of Thy holy name may reign in bliss throughout eternity. Amen. I think it is very good for us to see how the Holy Scriptures were recorded. In this particular case, we see that one of the believers, one of the zealous and faithful Christians, is writing this like a book or like a long letter. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, one, the name is also very special, says, loved by the Lord, or by God. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, right away we have the gospel. Our Lord Jesus was first doing the things and then teaching the things. Not the other way around, teaching and not doing. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the Lord did give the commandments. And not only he gave the commandments, he showed himself alive after his passion by many unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We remember that in the days of old, the children of Israel were waiting for Moses 40 days when Moses was up in the mountain to receive the commandments from the Lord. And what happened after a few days? They said, we don't know what happened to this Moses. Aaron, make us gods that will walk before us. And so they made a calf. And they worshipped in idol worship. It was important to them to have some worship. It was important to them to have some festivities, some program, something going on. Whom they did worship, that was not the most important thing. And in that is the root of idolatry. The moment that the worship of God is not the most important thing. Not the worship is the most important point, but God is the most important person. And if God is the most important person in our mind, in our heart, we are going to worship God. Now, we can be poor, we can be few in number, we can be one alone here and there, or we can be many. As long as we worship God, we have the fellowship in His Spirit. However, if any one of us or anyone anywhere in this world finds that the most important thing is to worship and to have fellowship, but the most important point is not fellowship in His Spirit and to worship God Himself, idolatry is unavoidable. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness, but also there is no light anywhere else. Outside, the Word of God is only darkness. So, with this kind of teaching and this kind of instruction, the Lord is starting this book through the writing of this writer. And He says that after the Lord commanded them the way they should live and how they should minister to one another, how should they witness to the world and so on, He gave them the final commandments: wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. This is reflecting on a certain promise of the Father, and yet it is a rule. There are no promises of the Father that are not in Christ and received through Christ. Now, someone could say, well, did not Adam and Eve receive a promise after their fall, a promise of restoration? Yes, they did. Through whom was the restoration to be given? Through Christ. So from the beginning and to the end, and all the throughout that endless eternity, I don't even know how to say that in English. How can it be throughout if it's eternity? It just goes on and on. But we have to use some words, I think. So in that endless eternity is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him all in all. And in Him we see the face of the Father now. Through Him we should obey the will of the Lord, the will of the Father. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. How many baptisms there were? We read in the Bible, in the epistles, that there is one baptism, one faith, one Savior. Just one. Well, here we see the baptism that the Lord is foretelling them. Well, then, in, where is that? In John, John chapter 20, after the resurrection, the Lord is talking to the disciples, and He showed them the marks of His wounds, the wounds of the spikes on the cross, and He somehow proved to them that He is He, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were glad. And then they rejoiced. Then they started realizing that the resurrection is real, and that the words that the Lord was telling them before are real ones and clear and strong and so on. And then He opened their mind to understand the scripture when joy has filled their hearts. And at that time, John 20, verse 22, we read, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Before that, they were baptized in water by John. They believed the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. They did not understand very much, but they did believe, and they followed. It seemed to me that in some cases, or at some moments, the enemies understood more the gospel than the disciples of the Lord. The enemies ordered the soldiers to be at the tomb. The disciples could not believe that he is risen. The enemies tried to prevent what the Lord has said is going to come to pass, and the disciples cannot believe it really happened. But then, again, all of that is a process. That in all the knowledge and craftiness of the world and the opposition of the gospel of our Lord, the world is ending up in an awful foolishness and predicament, in destruction, in their doom. And in all the ignorance and partial understanding of the faithful disciples of the Lord, those that will not give up, those that will not turn back, those that will not go away, but follow the Lord even when they don't understand why and how the things are going the way they are. The Lord revealed his patience, his loving kindness, his grace, and he led the disciples in the right direction. And they continued in his grace. So when the Lord says there is but one baptism, then I think we can perceive that yes, there is one baptism. And it starts perhaps at the moment when we believe the Lord first time. Or maybe before that, starts before we are aware that it started. God only knows what happened. In the John 3, we read that the wind bloweth where it listed, where it is. You see the action, but you don't know. Well, here, at this point, the wind started, and at that point, the wind ends. Nobody knows. None of us, I don't think any one of us ever saw the beginning and the end of the wind. We just see the action. So, to say exactly, well, that moment I experienced the new birth, well, maybe. Maybe I experienced something. But we know that we have the new birth when we have the new life. And if somebody experienced a wonderful experience, a very emotional, very high, very joyful and so on, but did not continue after the Lord, I don't know what he experienced. I don't know. We know only that as long as we follow the Lord, we are on the way of salvation, on the path of righteousness. It's wonderful to have good experiences. It's great as long as we follow the Lord. So, we see that that baptism, that transformation that starts, we know not when, ends at a moment that we don't know when will that moment come. I think it's the end of our journey on this earth. And if we walk after the Lord Jesus Christ, at that time we know it's completed. It is finished. The heaven is open, and the Lord is waiting for his own. So, the Lord says further in this testimony, through the writer of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, when they, the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they still did not have all the understanding. Later on in the epistles, Paul the Apostle said, now we see as through the glass, as not perfectly clear. Someday we will see it as it is. So even our vision is developing, growing, clearing, as long as we don't turn our focus, shift our focus from the Lord to the world, as long as we don't start copying the world, as long as we don't try to sanctify the things of the world and give them some disguise of holiness and godliness. Well, my old, my ancestors did that, or faithful people 2-3 generations back did it, and so that must be holy. No, no, no. It's holy if it's here, in this book. If it's not, it's out of the world, from the world. So, when they therefore were come together, they asked this question, and the Lord answered to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Do not ask for the knowledge or for the foreknowledge of something that you don't understand. Just listen to the Father as the Son does, and then follow the Son." Why did they ask that? They asked for the power of having an earthly kingdom, I think. And the Lord said, "All the kingdoms are in the power of the Father. Ye shall receive a power that the Holy Ghost is going to bestow upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I'm so thankful that today we know some parts of the world that apparently were not recorded in the scripture. Because if the apostles traveled to the end of the earth, every part of the earth, every nation under heaven, probably the people that believe that this high calling, the sharing the gospel, the reaching out to the lost, was given only to the apostles, only to the first generation of the believers. And today we should be more like some kind of a Jewish Hebrew believers, make our sanctuary in one place and just wait. And whom the Lord wants to save, He'll bring them to us. We need not go anywhere. We just enjoy our semi-retirement. But that's not the case in the scripture. The Lord said to the end of the earth. But there is also another teaching here, I think, and that is that the apostolic ministry, the ministry of reaching out, starts where we are, not in another part of the world first. It's an interesting thing today when we hear about miracles and the great things that happen. It always happens somewhere far away. And it always happened to somebody else. And the people talk about that and talk about that. And it happened in their group to their ministers. Where are their ministers? Over there. Can we see them? No. No, it's always somebody else and somewhere else. It's impossible to meet an honest teacher or scholar who witnessed an authentic, real miracle. And, well, that's how much I believe of that. It's just not authentic. Of course, there is the power of human will, there is the power of influence. And if somebody managed by suggestion and human will, enslave himself or herself to some sickness, like occasionally they use the wheelchairs for that kind of tricks, and that person can be in a wheelchair for a long time. And the will of another person whom this person in the wheelchair will trust can change the situation and so on. All of that is not the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But back to this, the Lord did give to the apostles the power to perform miracles. So when the apostle Peter went to Joppa, being called by the disciples there, to call Dorcas, or what was the other name? Tabitha, back to this life. Peter had the power to do that, didn't he? Well, not exactly. Peter didn't have any power of his own. He kneeled down and prayed. And God gave what God had in store for that time, that place, and that purpose, that testimony. So, when the Lord has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. As he was talking to them, he was leaving the earth. Well, in the book of Luke, Gospel according to Saint Luke, the last few verses we read, verse 51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. While he was blessing them, so he is leaving the earth, but his blessing is that while they beheld, he was taken up as he was speaking these things to them. So these words that the Lord talked to them and the blessing seem to be the same. The words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are our blessing. And we should take them as such and understand them as such and apply them as such. And somewhere, can't recall exactly where it is. We read that verse that it says, and his commandments are not grievous, not hard. His commandments are a blessing to us. What if something is hard to me? I should pray for that blessing, should I not? You know when the Word of God is very difficult? When we already are busy with another burden, another load, in order to be able to appreciate the Word of God, we should just give up all the words of the world, the teaching of the world. So, they were looking up to heaven. The Lord is moving higher and higher and higher, and it's just glorious, just majestic. As the Lord is rising from this earth, I believe in the minds of the disciples, the experience of the past few years is just flying through. And they see, they hear his first calling. They hear the testimony of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that took upon himself the burden of the sin of the world. And then they see his miracles, they hear his words, and his word is just like a great river that flows through their heart and mind. And then they see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and suffering, and their denial, and their running away, and he's gathering them again and revealing the scripture to them, and how their hearts were burning as he opened the scripture to them. And all of that is just passing through their mind, and they see him higher and higher as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's so glorious, so majestic, so wonderful what they see, that they cannot turn their eyes away. And they just look up toward heaven. But that's not the only thing that the Lord wants us to do. Yes, we should behold his wonderful deeds, and we should see him as the King of Kings and rejoice in his glory and be fearless facing the opposition and the enemies in this life, all of that. But the Lord wants us to do what he told us. And what did he tell to the disciples? Stay in the city of Jerusalem. Be together, continue in prayers. Wait, but don't wait being idle, doing nothing. Wait in prayers, supplications, meditate upon the Word of God. Encourage one another, help one another. Be united in that desire and in that prayer. And then one day the Lord is going to fulfill His promise. How many days they spend in prayer since the ascension of the Lord until the outpouring of the power of the Holy Ghost? It seemed to me about 10 days. 10 days. I'd like to share a confession with you. I never spent 10 days in prayers continually. Just never. Alone. There were sometimes more than 10 days of crying, weeping, praying, and so on. But continually being together and praying. I think that's an experience that I have not had yet. They were together and with their wives and their sisters and their daughters, their sons and elderly, young ones and so on. They're just praying and waiting. At this time, the angels told them to not stand here too long. Remember this, record this, but then look toward the next thing that will happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And now it's a question. How do we wait for Him? If we are waiting, resting in His grace and laboring in His Spirit, then when He appears, we will have oil in our lamps. We will be ready. But what if we know something is in the way? We don't enjoy the world. We read the Bible. We enjoy charity. We share with one another. But something is in the way. There is something to be overcome. Something to be taken out of the way so that we can have that full and free fellowship with the Lord, that we can walk with Him and grow in faith and in understanding of the Scripture, and that we can be open for the power of His Spirit the moment when something happened, like when John and Peter were surrounded by the opposition of the gospel in the temple, and the enemies questioned them. Why do you that? How dare ye proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? That moment they were filled with the Spirit. Well, I don't think they were empty all the time. I think that fellowship went on and on. But for the moment when they needed most, the anointing is the greatest. And the Lord was helping them. The Lord was working through them. So they say, this same Jesus, this same Savior, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, and as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Didn't we read somewhere that He's coming with thousands of saints or heavenly hosts and so on? And here we see Him leaving all alone. Well, first, He's never all alone. Second, when He says shall so come in like manner, that means I would understand it that way, independent, not controlled by the powers of the created universe, by the laws of nature. He's just leaving this earth as if there was no gravity, or as if the gravity pulling Him to the Father is greater than the gravity of the earth holding us down here. In like manner, He is going to come in the power of the Father. So they returned into Jerusalem, they went into an upper room, and there they abode. They were together, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, all the disciples. And then we read here in the verse number 14, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, reading this, I cannot and I should not neglect to share with you that today, from the depth of my weak heart, I am very thankful to the Lord for the fellowship of the brethren, for the fellowship of those that wholeheartedly seek the will of the Lord and strive to be faithful. Men, women, brothers, sisters, young or old, whoever is in the Lord, may the Lord bless everyone with that everlasting youthfulness, forever young in Christ. I would like to take the remaining time to share something from this reading in Serbian language, so that the sharing be more complete.